I love it. I love it. If I get excited, I might drink some of his water. You know, this is a great day. Great day. Supper time. Y'all like supper time? I mean, supper time is one of those kind of favorite times for me, because supper time comes when it's kind of that pleasant time of the evening. Been at work all day, you come down, you sit around the table, and all of a sudden you start talking about, sometimes we just listen to what the wife did all day, and you know, we enjoy it. Or heard what the kids said, or something along, supper. But don't you like to hear those words? Supper's ready. Supper's ready. I tell you what I do. I do. That's some of the most cherished words. Supper time, but when does it come? Supper time comes after time of preparation. Supper time comes at kind of at the end of the day. Supper time comes when the meal is complete. It's supper time. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Are you ready for supper time? Some of y'all say, man, I ain't ate lunch yet. So why am I ready for supper? Supper time, in fact, don't look at your watch if you didn't set it, because it's already, it's mid-afternoon snack time by now. If your stomach starts growling, it'll just be in harmony with the rest of us. Okay? So today, we'll be thinking about supper time. A poet said, someday that dawns will make all time is past. Then may we keep our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, may we live each day as if it were the last, and ready be if Christ should come tonight. Supper time. Supper time. Are we ready? You know, I was looking back over this past week of many supper times that occurred. Lights went out when a husband took the life of his wife. The lights went out when a work associate's son overdosed on drugs and the lights went out. The lights went out when two men struggled and shots were fired. The lights went out when a work associate of ours had an operation, sitting up in the bed, and then all of a sudden an infection took over and the lights went out. Not one of these people were expecting that. No one was expecting the lights to go out. It was the last thing on their mind. They couldn't even imagine that. But I sometimes ask myself the question, was it supper time? Was it supper time? Are we ready for supper time? We're going to look in the Revelation, and two of the most exciting things that we're going to see are going to come. This will be part one of a series of two. In Revelation chapter 19, and in fact, we're going to read about one supper. Why don't we look in verse 9 where it says, Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Isn't that neat? The marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, let's look at another supper in verse 17. The scripture says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Two suppers, one chapter. Which supper will you be going to? Now, when I say that, you know, it's kind of an interesting fact here. In one supper, you attend the supper. In the second one, you are the supper. So which one do you want to go to? Do you want to be in the celebration? Or do you want to be the supper? And we're going to be looking at some of these things. And a call is going to come out real soon. Are you ready for supper? Are you washed up? Are you prayed up? Are you lived up? Are you ready to be caught up? Hey, are we ready? And you may ask yourself the question, well, how can I prepare for supper? I want to be ready for supper. I want to be there. Well, let me ask just a few questions. Number one is, who do you love beyond life itself? Who do you love beyond life itself? In other words, it's one thing to love those in whom, and we would give our life, but who do you love beyond life? Is His name Jesus Christ? A great God? The garments of tomorrow are being prepared today. What garments are you preparing today? In other words, and we're going to develop this thought along in just a few minutes. What garments? The works, the good works that you perform today are actually going to be rewarded and become a part of your garment. It'll be rewards that you'll hand over to Jesus, but you will be dressed in righteousness. The way that you live today will affect your presentation at the marriage feast. So are you preparing for the supper? In essence, redeeming the times? I might say it this way. If you're not preparing, when are you going to start? When are you going to start? And you'd say, today's Sunday. I'll start today. That's good. What about Monday? Okay, then too. What about Tuesday? Well, that sounds good. What about Wednesday? Yes, Wednesday. What about Friday? Saturday? Hey, let's prepare. Let's prepare for supper. And therefore, we're going to go and we're going to celebrate. So today, we're going to be talking about a message of light. Isn't it neat that we can come to a point in the Revelation where Satan has already got his due? He's gone. Where the false prophet? Gone. False religion? Gone. Death? Gone. All of a sudden now, we're reaching that point in which we're in heaven. We're reaching that point in which it's time to celebrate. And we're about to have our scripture reading, and I'm going to need some participation. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. But every time I come across the word hallelujah, every time you hear it, I got King James Version, but if you may not have it exactly right, so it may not tune in just right. So every time you hear the word hallelujah, I want you to say, praise the Lord. Now, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be interpreting a word that is worldwide. When it went to the Ukraine, Ivana Frankis, there in an old church that was there, one song that we sang that I knew every word, and it was called Hallelujah. There you go. All right. That's it. That's it. So when we sang that song, we went over into another town and we sang that same song, and I knew what they were singing, and they knew what I was singing. I was singing Ukrainian Southern style. Because when I say hallelujah, you know. Okay, all right, you ready now? Here we go. I'm going to begin reading. You can read along with me. And so, therefore, every time I say the word hallelujah, I want you to interpret it by saying praise. In fact, that's what the word means. Ali is praise. Yah is Yahweh. So it's praise the Lord. That's proper interpretation of this word. Verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation, glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the world with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He saith unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and thy brethren that have testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. 4 great sounds. 4 great sounds we're going to hear this morning. First of all, we're going to hear the great voice, which means celebration. Come together as we sound the sounds of heaven. And then we're going to look at great praise. Inside of this great praise, we're going to celebrate God by saying hallelujah. And then there's going to be great marriage, Christ celebrating at the supper of the Lamb. And finally, we will look at the great testimony. We will celebrate Christ in the spirit of prophecy. So what I'd like for us to do now is to focus in on our time right here in verse 1 where it says, "After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven." Do you hear that great voice? I like these words. It said, a great multitude in heaven. Sometimes we feel like there's only a few of us Christians around, right? But look, folks, when we get the whole family together, we gonna have big time. It's kind of like when some of you have family reunions. Some of you grew up and 13 kids in the household. And when y'all get together, it's a big time. And when we get together in heaven, folks, it's going to be a great time. And what do we have to celebrate? I can tell you at least three things we'll be celebrating. When we are saved today, we are delivered from the power of sin. And then we are delivered from the penalty of sin. But one day, guess what's going to happen? We are going to be saved from the presence of sin. We have something to shout about. Wouldn't it be neat to go to a place where there's no toothaches? or no gout? That's a big one now. Or something like, wouldn't it be neat to go where we can just celebrate Jesus? And don't have to worry about the devil, don't have to worry about Satan, don't have to worry about vote, don't have to worry about none of this stuff. Psalm 104, verse 35 says, "Let the sinner be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord." So we're going to be celebrating. Sin is going to be removed, the presence of sin. But in light of that, what do we want to rejoice about? Do you want to rejoice about the power that you have? Hey, the disciples one time were doing that. One time Jesus said, "Okay, you guys, it's time for y'all to hit the streets." And so they went out there and they started hitting the streets and started telling people about the coming kingdom of God, about Jesus. And when a guy came up with a demon, he'd cast him out. A guy came up with leprosy, he'd heal him. A guy that maybe even fell dead, he could touch him and live. Boy, they got so excited. They came back and said, "Jesus, Jesus, we can't hardly wait. Let me tell you something, telling the Son of God, okay? Let me tell you something, Jesus. We cast out even the demons." And you know what Jesus said? Boy, now that'd be neat now to be able to walk up to somebody, bam, that demon hit the street. I love that. Not touch them, but touch them with the Word of God. It'd be neat. Maybe one day we'll see some of that, but I'm not cherishing that moment. But what I am telling you is this. Jesus said, don't get so excited about casting out demons. What you need to be excited about is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now see, some of you may have never seen somebody healed, or some of you may have never seen somebody raise the dead. I hadn't, okay? And some of you may not have seen a lot of things, but one thing you can celebrate this morning, and that is your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that when you get out there with a bunch of your fellow believers, all of a sudden we can start rejoicing. And we can rejoice with the fellow laborers. Paul put it this way in Philippians, he said, "And I entreat thee, also true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement, and also with fellow laborers, whose names are in the Book of Life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Hey, what are we focusing on? Do we rejoice? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Is that hard to do? One of the exercises that we worked with the children on Wednesday night after we had our Bible story, I said to them, "Okay, guys, pick out something that is good." What is good? And then we went through it and we found a series of things in our Bible lesson that was good. This morning, let me ask you, have you picked out something that's good today? Man, that election, I'll sure be glad when it's over with. These high gas prices. Man, these jobs are going overseas. That preacher preaches too long. Wait a minute. Is that good? No, it's not. Okay. Have we spent a little bit of time saying, what's good? Tell me. Tell me, please. Let's focus on what is good. We live in the greatest country in the world. We have food to eat. We have a roof over our head. We can come to church and we can worship God without threat. You can't say that all over the world. We can pray. Hey, folks, we can pray anywhere, anytime we want to. You can bow your head to prayer and nobody can stop that. And even the devil can't stop that. Nobody can. That's good. We have freedom of speech. We have a lot of freedoms. In fact, I was talking about in our house and the way we live. I told my wife, I said, we're living like kings. Man, compared to much of the world. What's the good things? So therefore, when we begin to focus right here, we can say about all of these things, but the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Well, are you ready to go to supper? Are you ready to go to the wedding? I'm talking about the wedding. Are you ready to go to that? But wait a minute. Are you dressed right for that? Are you dressed right to go to the wedding? Well, let me give you a little bit of what's the groom. If you're on the groom's list, y'all know who the groom is? Jesus. There you go. Okay. And you know who the bride is? The church. There we go. Now, so therefore, if we're going to go to this wedding now, do we have the right clothing on? And let's look at that. First of all, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, let's see what we need to be wearing. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, the scripture says, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So therefore, if we're going to be dressed up properly, number one, we need to have the right worldview. We need to have our worldview needs to be right. Now, what does our worldview mean? That we are overcomers. We are not underachievers. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. So therefore, whatever the world throws at us. Hey, I picked up on Mick Romney the other night, and he's talking about on one of these panels, and they were going back with all the debate. And he said to the liberal side of it, he says, you know, he says, I don't know who's going to be elected on Tuesday for sure, but he says, whoever is elected, I'm going to pray for them. I am going to pray for them. So on January 1, we're going to have a president. And the Bible says, pray for those who are in power and authority. So whoever it is, we will be in prayer for them. We can pray because we're on the victorious side. Our worldview is we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, right here, we can be clothed in white raiment. Secondly, let our worship be right. Look in chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you will not worship the beast. You will not worship the Antichrist. But we will worship, and our name will be written from the Lamb's book of life. And so therefore, our worship needs to be right as we worship Jesus Christ. And number three, let our works be right. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What happens? Overcomers live right. So if you're on the groom's list, there's going to be three characteristics about you. Number one, you're going to have the right worldview. Number two, you're going to worship right. And number three, your works are going to be right. If that's not in line, then you better check out on your garments. Because we're going to be learning here that God's not going to just take any garment. And I'll show that to you in a minute. But let's go to verse 2. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 2. We're going to have great praises in heaven, okay? We've looked at this and we've heard a great voice because there's a multitude in heaven. But now listen to verse 2, chapter 19, verse 2. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of the servants his hand. Hey, what do you have to shout about? What do you have to shout about? I'd like to give you four words that you can shout about that comes right out of the Scripture. When the Scripture says in verse, the Scripture will teach us here, it says, for true and righteous. And we're going to pick it up in the four great words. Hey, let me read on to the next verse where it says, excuse me one second. It's in verse 1. Goodness gracious, I passed right over it. And there's a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. Amen. Go, girl. Salvation, glory, honor, and power. That's what I was looking for. Salvation, glory, honor, and power. Now, if you look at that word salvation means deliverer. Jesus Christ heals us. He makes us whole. He delivers us. But what can we see and why can we get so excited about this? Because I pick it up back in verse 2 now where it says that he hath judged the great whore. And remember now, the great whore is that false religion. All the false religion of this world that comes together, Jesus Christ is going to judge it. And what's going to happen? They're going to smoke for time and eternity. So therefore, when we start talking about salvation, we are saved from the great whore, from the false religions of the world. But we also see what he does. He's going to judge and he's going to avenge the blood of the saints. See, I wish I could go back to the 1500s when the Pope was having these inquisitions. And many people, because they didn't believe that the Lord's Supper, that the bread actually became physical body, and that the juice actually became physical blood, these guys were burned at the stake. We can't conceive that. But yet, what do I know? I know that our blood, the blood of the righteous, are going to be avenged because he is going to be that perfect judge. Our deliverance is found in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like we got justice in this world? Do you feel like our court system is complete justice? Well, let me tell you what I heard the other day. A man went into a house to rob it. And this man, after he took what he was going to take, went out the kitchen door, which entered into the garage, and the kitchen door locked behind him. And the garage door was locked, so this robber couldn't get out. So all he found there in the garage was a case of Pepsi and a sack of dog food. And so for a week, this man stayed there in that garage, drinking Pepsi and eating dog food. Well, when he got out, he turned around and sued the people in that house for mental anguish. And they gave him $500,000. Okay. A woman went to a restaurant. She got mad at her boyfriend, and she threw Pepsi at him. And she got up and started to walk, and she slipped on the Pepsi that she had threw at her boyfriend, and she hurt her tailbone. And what did she do? She sued the restaurant. And they said, oh, that's worth $150,000. Can you imagine that? Do we call that justice? Well, let me get one more. A man bought a brand new Winnebago. You know what that is, one of these big Winnebagos. He started driving down the road in this Winnebago. And he got going pretty good down there, so it all felt good. So he turned and he put the speed control on. And after he put the speed control on, he got up to go get him a cup of coffee. Well, you know what happened. And all of a sudden, that Winnebago gets damaged. And, you know, and what does he do? He sues Winnebago. And what did they get? He won $1.5 million and Winnebago gave him a brand new Winnebago and they rewrote their manual. Folks, is that justice? But yet, what can we say? When God reigns, folks, the great whore is going to be judged. And the blood of the servants is going to be avenged. Salvation. So therefore we can celebrate because of salvation. The second word that we see there is the word glory. Doxa. That's where we get the doxology from. That's where we can praise God. And what can we do? We can praise Him because God sent Satan and his supermen. Look in verse 3. The scripture says, and they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and forever. What is happening? Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 says that every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven, of the things in earth, and the things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is he going to do? Every knee shall, Hitler is going to bow his knee. Khrushchev is going to bow his knee. The false prophet is going to bow his knee. The Antichrist is going to bow his knee. Satan is going to bow his knee. Glory to God. And so therefore, when he sets us free, he sets us free indeed. Now, there are those who try to get away, but it's not going to happen that way. As you read on October the 8th, 2008, in Germany, the founder of a left-wing terrorist group turned neo-Nazi went on trial in Germany for publishing on the internet denying that the Holocaust ever existed. And so Horst Mahler, he was the founder of the Red Army faction in 1970, and he produced documents online from 2001 to 2004 denying of the Nazi Holocaust. And in Germany, it is against the law to deny the Holocaust. Folks, it is a for real fact. And if this guy is convicted, he will serve 5 years in prison. What are you saying? God sentenced Satan. God sentenced the false prophet. And God will sentence those liars today. They will not get away. Glory to God. He judges wickedness. What else can we say? Honor. The Bible says there's salvation, there's glory, and there is honor. That's value, dignity in Himself. Honor and precious. Oh, and why can we shout so much here? Because in verse 4, we see that God is seated on the throne. Look at that. And the four and the 20 elders. Now, do y'all remember what that represents? The four and the 20 elders, the redeemed of all time, okay? 12 from the Old Testament, 12 from the New Testament, the apostles and the fathers of the Old Testament. So you got 24 elders, and what are they doing? And the four and 20 elders and the four beasts, that's the living creatures that we dealt with in chapter 4, they fell down and worshiped God that said on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Hey, folks, God's in control. He is seated on the throne. He's not wringing his hands about who's going to win the election. He knows. Okay? He's in control. And so, therefore, when we think about honor and God being there, we need to have a peace of mind because God is at work. Let me carry you back, though, to a 700-year-old call from Kublai Khan. Where was he? In Magnolia. Maybe this name, Marco Polo. Does that sound a little bit, I mean, not talk about the shirt, you know, Polo. This is Marco Polo, who was a traveler that went all over the world, and he went to Genghis, he went to Kublai Khan, and what did he do? He said, look, go back and send me 100 Christian missionaries to teach here in our schools, in our place. And what happened? No one came for 28 years. 28 years. This door was wide open for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and nobody came for 28 years. And finally, when they did come, Kublai Khan was no longer interested. And so it was, this Iron Curtain just closed for hundreds of years. Then finally the Iron Curtain was raised, and Southern Baptists went in, and when they went into Mongolia, it was said that there was between 2 to 4 Christians in all the country. Between 2 to 4 Christians in all the country. Well, what do? They went in with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today it is said there's somewhere between 10 to 12,000 Christians. And you know what we've got people over there doing? We got people sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. How? By working in offices, by working in agriculture, and we've even got some people over there who love Jesus so much that they've gone out there with the people of Magnolia, these nomads, and they live out there in the desert in the extreme areas with extreme heat, no showers, no indoor toilet. And the people of Magnolia say, well, why are you here? Are you Russian spies? And they say, no, I am here for you. I am here for you. What are you saying? I'm saying, folks, there are people in this world right now who are laying it all on the line. There are people right now who can say glory to God. There are people right now who will honor the name of God. But also in verse 1, it says, salvation, glory, honor, and power. That word power is from the word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite from. There is power. And in this power, I want you to see something. In verse 6 where it says, and I heard a multitude of a great multitude as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know what that big word omnipotent means? Omni means all, everywhere. He is all powerful and He reigns everywhere. And He's on the throne. That's the reason why we can celebrate. That's the reason why we can sing glory. Because God omnipotent reigneth. And how do you know that? Well, all I have to do is look at one of His prophets. One of His prophets, a guy was named Elijah. One day, Elijah got filled up to right, whatever that is, all the way up to right here. Well, the way that the country was running. And so he says, I tell you what, guys, let's put it all on the line right now. You bring out your prophets, and there was 450 of the prophets of Baal. And my lung is going to stand right here. 450 to 1. And he says, what we're going to do is we're going to have a sacrifice. And the one that the fire comes down and consumes, that one will be God. So what did they do? He gave the prophets of 450 against one. He gave them, they cut the meat, they put it on this altar, and they started screaming from the early morning to the noontime. They got and they cut themselves, and they yelled out to Baal, oh Baal, oh Baal, oh Baal. And Elijah said, holler a little bit louder, you may be going to the bathroom. That's a little bit liberal translation, but it's in there. Holler a little bit louder. He don't hear you. Nothing happened. Came down to the evening time of sacrifice, close to supper. And he says, let's make this simple altar. Let's put the meat there. And then he said, let's get a barrel of water and pour on it. Let's get another barrel of water and pour on it. Let's get another barrel of water and pour on it. And the water was running. He had a trench that was dug around it. And that water was just pulling everywhere. And he says, oh God, let these people know there's a God in the land and I am His prophet. And when he said that, fire came down from heaven. Whoosh! It burnt the sacrifice. It burnt the rocks. It burnt the dust. It soaked up all the water. 450 against one. Why? Because our God reigns. Our God is omnipotent. and His power reigneth forever and forever. Oh, let's hurry. Let's hurry. Let's go to verse 7. Because we're seeing there's a great marriage in heaven. And He said unto me, in verse 9, chapter 19, verse 9, and He said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And I fell down at His feet and He said, hey, see, don't do that. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What do we have here? Let me put this in a real quick summary fashion right here. The marriage. We're going to sing the song. Here comes the what? Wrong. Here comes the groom. Here comes the groom. In Oriental time, this is what happened. The parents would get together and they'd make an arrangement, a legal binding document for two kids. They were married. Secondly, all of a sudden there was a day in which the groom would go out and get his bride and bring her back to his house. And thirdly, when they brought her back to the house, they'd have this big feast. And the feast would last as long as the wealth of that person. So if you were real wealthy, the feast would last many days. Folks, there's coming a day in which God is going to say, go get your bride. Jesus Christ is going to come with the church. And when He comes with the church, there's going to be a feast. Many say that that feast is going to last 1,000 years. Jesus Christ, God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns it all. And so therefore there's going to be 1,000-year reign of Christ here on this earth. And so therefore there's going to be a marriage feast, maybe even 1,000 years. And so for us, what are we to do? We are to prepare. We are to wear the garments of righteousness. We are to be ready because there is going to be a great, great marriage. And we are going to be a part of that. And the last thing that I want you to hear this morning is found in verse 10, where the Scripture teaches of the great testimony of Jesus. And He says, and I fell down at His feet, and He said unto me, see thou don't do that. I am thy fellow servant and thy brother, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Three things found right here. Number one, the object is Jesus Christ. Number two, the objective is to worship God. And number three, the overlook, the overview of all of this, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I'm going to make a final comment right here. If you haven't seen Jesus throughout all of the revelation, you've missed it. If you haven't seen Jesus throughout all the pages of the Revelation, you've missed what the book is all about. He wants us to get excited because, you see, there's going to be this great voice in heaven. This great voice in heaven which is going to reach out and He's going to sing out to us and we're going to hear from it. And this great voice is going to come and it's going to be the shout of many believers. And there's going to be a great praise coming over here. Hallelujah! 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 And then there's going to be this great marriage of Christ and His church coming together. And then we'll see the fulfillment of this great testimony. And that testimony is Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Supper? Supper almost ready? Supper? Maybe He's calling out today. Maybe it's sooner than we think. Supper's ready. Come to the feast. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this day, Lord, wanting to give praise and honor to You. For You, O Lord, are worthy. God Almighty, we are before You. You are in charge. You are ruling. You are reigning. You are omnipotent glory, salvation, honor, praise, power to the Lamb. God, we submit our lives afresh to You. Lord, we want to be a part of that feast, not be the feast. Lord, we want to be a part of the feast and celebrating with Jesus Christ. So Lord, today, help us to make those preparations. In Jesus' name, amen. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How is it there? It's when a person calls upon the name of Jesus to be saved. When you call upon the name of Jesus, your name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? If not, I encourage you to come this morning. I encourage you to come and say, Brother Robert, I want to be saved. Secondly, are you getting ready? Are you getting all dressed up for the wedding feast? Is your life now, or is your life cleaned up, prayed up, ready? Are you being dressed up in the righteousness of God in good works to approach the feast? Are you ready? Are you getting your garments spotless today? Are you living the life ready? Because supper's almost ready. Supper's almost ready. Are you ready? Prayer altars are going to be open. Many other needs. I encourage you to come. Let's stand together and sing.